Genesis 24, verses 1 to 66, an extremely long passage. But I want to look at it in this one discourse here. I will come back to the passage, but what I want to say in this discourse comes from the entire section. Now that's 4 pages involved in my Bible. So if you hear some fluttering of the leaves of the scripture, I hope it won't disturb you too much. Genesis 24, verses 1 to 66. In this discourse, I want to speak on the subject of marriage as found in this passage. Now, at once, I'm confronted with a difficulty. I have to try and distinguish the social mores of the time and the biblical principles. The social mores may not all come over. Some things are very different today. But biblical principles do come over. I don't want to read into this scripture, but I want to see where I can and find principles of scriptural principles of marriage and how important that is today when marriage is under such threat and such misunderstanding and treated so lightly in many places. The biblical principles of marriage. Now, there's so much here, I'll just give the headings in this brief discourse. The first thing I would say, I would learn from this passage, that it is an important state, an important matter, but not all important. Abraham is concerned, but not over-concerned, not overly concerned. Verses 5 and 8, for example, speak of that. There is a willingness for things not to work out as Abraham would hope. Of course, the covenant depends upon Isaac marrying and bearing children, his wife bearing children. But nevertheless, although Abraham is concerned, he's not overly concerned. He chooses his best servant, verse 2. And I learn from this. Some professing believers, I emphasize the word professing, have made an overemphasis upon despising marriage and rejecting it. And then some believers go the opposite extreme and are over-concerned, especially parents. Too many copy Mrs. Bennet in Pride and Prejudice, and their one thought seems to be how to make a good marriage. It's all-consuming in their life. Jane Austen, in her novels, and others too, Victorian novelists, expose this. We must not, as believers, address believers here, be overly concerned, but we must be concerned. It's a serious matter, but not all-consuming. It can be for parents, and it can be for young people themselves. The second principle I see here, I'm trying not to draw social mores, but biblical principles. A second principle is a solemn matter, is this question. The solemnity of it, a solemn matter it is. I see in many verses here, verses 3, verse 12, verse 58, I see serious thought given here to this subject. It's not a wanton, rash, thoughtless, casual affair. Abraham and his servant and the parties involved are all taking it very seriously. We know the story, by the way. I've gone into that. I've leapt over that. Abraham sends his servant. The servant prays. Lady comes out, Rebecca comes out, and he puts this to God, that if she offers the camels a drink as well as himself, then he'll regard this as a token of God's guidance. And he goes to see the family, and he finds it's by coincidence, no, by God's direction, that the family is made up of Nahor, Milcah, and Bethuel. And it's all related to Abraham. And Rebecca says, yes, she will go with the man, and she marries Isaac. It's an important state, but not all important. It's a solemn matter, and must be gone into seriously, soberly, righteously, carefully. It's a spiritual matter. There is concern for beauty, there is concern here, and it's mentioned. And Rebecca is an attractive woman. This is not to be despised. But Things like beauty, prospects, job, intelligence, these are very important things, but not the top matter for the for the believer today, the Christian. This is before God. Abraham is doing all this before God and so on. There's prayer here, verse 3, verse 24 to 27. Abraham wants his servant to find a wife for Isaac from his own people. I would extend this, I hope, biblically and properly. 2 Corinthians 6, I do apply that passage myself, yoking together. I think it is a biblical principle that the believer should marry a believer. Abraham is willing to sacrifice the covenant and the future, humanly speaking, of course, but he will not preserve the covenant by going outside the family. He won't go to the Canaanites. I see here a biblical principle. We must, I think, argue from this. I think it's justifiable to argue from this. And I see a biblical principle in 2 Corinthians 6, as I say. There's no thinking about that for me. That's definite. That's clear. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. I see the next point, a parental responsibility. They have their part to play. Yeah. Abraham plays his part, and I see these people, Bethuel and Nahor and Milcah, they also play their part, these family relations, the ones that have authority. There can be too much of this, and we see this with arranged marriages in some quarters, and there can be too little, where parents wash their hands of it. But these people take their authority and their responsibility seriously. But it's an individual matter. That's the next point I would make. Rebecca can choose, 57 to 58, and she does make her voluntary choice. She has to be mature and grown up and make this decision. I see, sixthly, a modesty about all this. 65 to 66, there's a modesty here with Rebecca putting on the veil and so on. Again, social mores, I won't push them. But there is a biblical principle. There's too much brazenness and openness now about this estate. Here there is a sober, serious, not flippant, cautious, spiritual matter. This is the picture that's building up to me. Home is set up, verse 67 and on, a separate establishment, close to the family, but separate. And marriage is a manifold state. There is a spirituality about it. There's comfort involved in it. There's childbearing involved in it. There's an expression of love in it. 63, 67, 60. These verses, that section of scripture there, speak of this matter. Marriage is a truly honorable state in believers. And there are many fruits and benefits and joys and pleasures and responsibilities to flow out of it. But let me just remind you of the principles I've tried to bring out. It's an important state, but not all important. It's a solemn matter, a serious matter. It's a spiritual matter, serious before God. Parents and authorities have their responsibility, but it's an individual responsibility. A modest state. Homes are involved, setting up a home. And there's a lifelong blessing to come in the marriage state. I know I've said this three times now, but I'm saying it again. I do not want to bring the social mores over into the 21st century. I can't do it. But I believe what I put before you constitute biblical principles which come over into the new covenant and apply to us today as believers. May God give us grace to adorn the doctrine of God in all things, and in this marriage state, in these dark and dreadful days, may we shine like lights in this fallen world, not least in this subject of marriage. May we show by our homes and by our godly marriages how Christians can live. And may we, as I say, adorn the doctrine of God and make it attractive in all things.